I'm Debbie Dashinger. Welcome to Dare to Dream. Be inspired to live big and bold and take action to turn your dreams into your reality. Go beyond obstacles and limits of your thinking. Accelerate results to catapult yourself to success. I'm a visibility expert who gives media makeovers to clients, booking them on media interviews and turning their books into international bestsellers with guaranteed results. Join me at DebbieDashinger.com. Dare to do great things. Dare to shine. It's all about you becoming a visionary and leading the pack. Welcome to your daring new life. I hope you're having an amazing day. I have to say that sometimes when I am interviewed, because as a visibility expert, I do what I also coach, sometimes these amazing people and hosts will send me a gift for coming on their show, which is so kind. I just got one from Brighton Beach. I've actually been there in England and the UK. And this gal, so kind, she sent me post-it notes. And some of them are the flag post-its, little flags that you can put on paper, which I actually use quite a bit. And the red one says love. The blue one says awesome. The orange one says yay. And the yellow one says happy days. I love using these. It's so great. What a great way to wake up in the morning and see words like this when you're doing work. Makes it kind of play. Well, a little bit later, I'm going to be featuring Carolyn Mace, who is a multi-New York Times best-selling author. And Carolyn speaks on healing, spirituality, personal development, and the study of archetypes. Carolyn Mace will be on later on Dare to Dream. And how about where you're at in your life, where are your dreams, where are your goals, what are you creating? There's so much opportunity right now. There are no extra pieces in the universe. Everyone is here because he or she has a place to fill. Every piece must fit itself into the big jigsaw puzzle. I like to say you are a piece of the puzzle of heaven here on earth. There are five W's of life. One W, who you are, is what makes you special. Let your light shine. What lies ahead will always be a mystery. That's what makes it fun. When you come to a fork in the road, follow your heart. Where there are choices to make, choose the experience you've never had before. Why things aren't always clear? Well, trust, there's a bigger plan. So make your magic, do your art. You and the universe must conspire together to extinguish the weeds of mediocrity so that genius, your genius, may bloom. Deepak Chopra said, awakening is not changing who you are, but discarding who you are not. Stay right there. When we come back, Carolyn Mace is here to talk about the power of your words. Talk soon. Whether you're a wine novice, a wine lover, or a wine specialist, you will love directsellers.com/debswinewonders because it's sourced from boutique artisan vineyards from around the world. Give the wines as gifts for colleagues to bring to social situations or just enjoy it with family and friends. The box of wines I've been receiving from directsellers.com/debswinewonders are superb, to be frank. They take care in the wine they choose. Their in-house wine experts ensure that the members get only the best. They've been tasting and selecting wine for over 15 years. The goal with this club is to send you wine that you love. Each month, our experts select great premium wines from wineries around the globe. Your satisfaction is guaranteed at directsellers.com/debswinewonders. That's direct, CELLARS.com/debswinewonders.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email at ads@debbie-year.com. That's ads@debbie-year.com.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email ads@debbie-year.com. That's ads@debbie-year.com.
This is Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream Radio. I've got Carolyn Mace here. She's a five-time New York Times bestselling author and internationally renowned speaker in the fields of human consciousness, spirituality, mysticism, health, energy medicine, and the science of medical intuition. You can find her at myss.com. Carolyn, welcome to Dare to Dream. It's great to have you.
Thank you, Debbie. Your enthusiasm is infectious, I'll tell you. What a spirit.
Thank you. Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing about your career journey, the opportunity to connect with you, and the power of our words. I want to start with the fact that I have had a previous guest on the show that I adore, Thomas John, and he has told me that you have been his mentor. What a great combo, you and Thomas John. Have you actually worked together?
No, not really. But he has. I've. How do I say? He's visited with me, and he's talked to me and asked me questions about, you know, developing intuition, and you know, how did I develop my intuitive skills? And, you know, and we've had some very rich conversations about becoming an intuitive and working as an intuitive professionally in the world. And you know, and I said to him, you know, I had advantages he will never, ever, ever have. And one of which is I developed at a time when there weren't other practicing intuitives, and there wasn't Google, and there wasn't Facebook, and all this assault of media. And I developed at a time when there was intuitive professions didn't really exist. And so I was very blessed in that. I was very blessed in that I didn't want an intuitive profession. I was a publisher. Mm-hmm. And that my background is in classical theology and in history and in very grounded academia. And that I didn't get up every morning and plug myself into the internet and check out my popularity. Mm-hmm. And this is contaminating. This is exceedingly contaminating. I did not grow up thinking that I was someone special and that my goal in life was to be special. And that is a contaminant in that generation. And it's very difficult, very difficult. And I also grew up with a very clear sense of what my values were and therefore are. And they've deviated not at all through the years of my life.
Wow.
They've deepened, they've grown, and they've become refined. I've never had that type of spiritual crisis where I've had to go look for my spirituality. I've never lost it. I don't even understand what that is. But I've seen the scar tissue from it. I've seen the madness of not knowing what it is you actually believe, and you're in your 40s and 50s and 60s. Who can function as a balanced human being when they don't even know what they believe? Mm. How can you make critical life decisions when you don't trust yourself, when you have no idea what your core ethics are or your core morality is? So, yeah, we've had a number of significant conversations that this idea of developing intuitive abilities, I don't even go there with me. Begin with, who are you? Who are you? What is it you're made of? What are the habitus maximus that formed you? The habits, the great habits of the heart that come from what you learned early, that you decided this sticks with me. Honor. If I give my word, I must keep it, or I don't give it at all. The power of my word means everything. Because if you don't keep your word, you will never believe anyone else will either. And that gives you permission to say whatever you want.
Powerful. I understand you actually started your life hoping to be a fiction writer, not about being a medical intuitive, and rather you wanted to be a writer. Is that true?
Oh, no, that was all I wanted. I started, I told my mother at age 7 that I would be a writer. That's what I was going to do. I fell in love with words, I went to bed reading dictionaries. I still have a dictionary on the side of my bed. And I absolutely fell in love with words and then how writers used words. And I decided that was my life. I was going to be a writer. And from age 7, I charted my course. That was it. I would have to learn to, I would have to read every book. And that's why I thought, I have to read every single book so I know what not to write. And I became obsessed about reading, so I became an obsessive reader. I'm telling you, I read everything, and now I still do. I had the closest thing I ever came to a panic attack in my life, ever, was on an American Airlines flight from Chicago to California. This was years ago, when I realized I didn't have a book on me. I didn't have a book. I went through my hand luggage, and I didn't have a book. And I just stood there, and I started to babble like an idiot. I don't have a book. I don't have a book. I don't have a book. So I called. I went to the galley, and I said, "Listen to me. I don't have a book on me." And God bless that woman. She said, "And?" I said, "I don't care what you have to do. Find someone who's got a book." And I said, "I'm not kidding you. I don't know how to handle this. I have never in my life not had a book. I've never not had a book. I'm telling you the truth. I've never not had a book on me, with me, on me, somewhere within a foot of me, my whole life." I said, I'm not kidding you. This is my first time. And I said, "Give me something to read." I said, "I don't care what it is, magazines, toothbrush, I don't care. You must give me. I am not kidding." You know what those, God bless them. They came up, they gave me a golf magazine, they gave me all this stuff, and I just sat there consuming. I read all this stuff. It didn't matter. I had to have my eyes on words.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how bad it is.
That's hilarious.
That's how bad it is.
You complete your master's degree, you co-found Stillpoint Publishing, and you head an editorial department. And what's so interesting is that period of time, off on the side, you're honing skills as a medical intuitive, and you're working with someone I also adore, Norm Shealy, who's a Harvard-trained neurosurgeon.
Yeah.
What was that time of your life like?
I finished school before I met Norm. I didn't meet Norm till I moved to New Hampshire to help start a publishing company with two people who were married, and it was their dream, and they asked me to join them. And that's why I moved to New Hampshire. And once I was there, and I believe me, I had never even considered living in the country, living on a farm. I didn't even know I had moved on to a farm, to be perfectly honest. I thought I rented a house with a front lawn. I was there 6 weeks, and I looked out the back window, and I thought, what's that barn doing here? And I said to myself, barn, farm, farm, barn. Do I have a house with a front lawn or a farm with a barn? And here I had rented. I called the real estate agent, and I said, What am I living on? She said, you rented a 40-acre farm. And I said, that's not possible because I'm from Chicago, and people like me, we don't live on farms. No, we don't. I am not living on a farm. And she said, but you are. I said, no, I'm not. She said, you are. And I just stood there. And it was, honestly, Debbie, it was this surreal moment because if I looked out the front window of this little Cape Cod cottage house that I had rented, it had what looked like a little green front lawn going to a country road. I look out the back, and it's into a sprawling 40-acre farm, and I could see the barn. And if I looked out the front, I felt totally safe. When I looked out the back, I started to shake with fear because I'd never been alone on that much land. So I just stood in the house, and I said, look at this. If I look to the front, because I'd already been living there 6 weeks, I felt totally, I can do this. I look to the left in the same spot, and it becomes a farm. And I just stood there and said, okay, now what are you going to do? Pick a view. Pick a view and hold center. So in that moment, I had this surreal encounter with how powerful my choice was going to be. Hmm. How was I going to frame where I was? And that the fear, the next moment, how I took everything, all depended on how I was seeing the same reality, through what window. It was honestly one of the most profound, hands-on, tactile, mystical experiences I'd ever had.
And you're on a farm. And then, which is amazing. That is a big jump. I get that, being someone who grew up in New York and now live in Los Angeles. So city, it's not necessarily what I love, but it would be a big deal for me as well. So you're making this massive adjustment here. And then how do you and Norm meet and work?
I was invited to a conference in Kansas by someone I had met at this crazy place called the Monroe Institute in Virginia that does out-of-body experiences. And I went there because it's a long story, but the long and the short of it is I had been doing a newspaper article, a magazine article, on Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, which is how I met Elizabeth. Anyway, she had gone there. So following in her footsteps to do this article, I went and did a seminar there because Elizabeth had done it. When I went there, in one weekend, I met everybody, every single person, who would be the beginning of the threads and dominoes that would shape my life. Mm-hmm. Everybody was there that weekend, every single person. The person who would invite me to the conference where I would meet Norm. A person who would, the two people with whom I would start the publishing company, and that moved my life to New Hampshire. And then another person who had agreed to start finance a newsletter, so I started to write this what would have then been called a New Age newsletter, and she financed it like a job for 6 months, flew me all over the country so I could interview all these people, and one of those copies of that newsletter that was only being sent at bulk rate, if you remember what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up in the mailbox of somebody in England who happened to be involved with publications there. And that ended up opening my life in Europe, this strange thing of how that newsletter got there, and I will never know. We've never figured it out, how his name was on any of the mailing lists, because he was just an operator for British Telecom. So, and it shouldn't have made the passage across the ocean anyway, because it was fourth-rate postage here. So the whole story is very crazy. But I go to this conference in the Midwest, and I go there as an invite from Jim Beal, who was a NASA engineer. And it's a conference that was put together by Elmer Green and his wife, the late Elmer and Elise Green, and Elmer is the father of the science of biofeedback. There was a whole interesting clinic going on at the Menninger Foundation in Kansas. So Elmer decided that there had to be a lot of people like him who by day were scientists and by night did all kinds of other things. And he started to gather these people around, physicists and shamans like Rolling Thunder and astronauts and Buddhist monks from Tibet, and you would not believe the people who gathered here. You would not believe it. And so this is where I met Norm. And I was invited as a guest of Jim Beal. So I come in, and he had invited me as a publisher, not as anything else. And at that time, I'd only been like doing these little medical intuitive readings, kind of like popcorn in my neighborhood. I mean, it was not well known, nothing. And Pat Norris, Elmer Green's daughter, says to me, you know, you might find him interesting to talk to. That's Dr. Norman Shealy. He studies all kinds of crazy things. He's a wizard. And he's real interested in, like, for example, in medical clairvoyance is what she called it.
Mm.
And I thought, why did you say that to me? So I go over there and I said, Dr. Shealy, could I speak with you? And he sits down. He's got his glasses hanging off the edge of his nose. He's peeling an apple. And he says, what do you want to talk about? And I just kind of went, and I said, you know, I think I might be one of those people. I might be a medical two. I might. And I'm stuttering like a two-year-old. And he said, how good are you? And he said, I don't need anyone to tell me someone's energy is off, because you know what? I can see that. He said, can you diagnose someone? Can you tell me this person has cancer? This person has this? And I said, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. And he said, look, I'll call you. And I said, okay, all right. So he had a clinic in Springfield, Missouri, and I was in New Hampshire. We go back, and he calls me about a week later, and he said, well, how much information you need? I said, I don't know. I've never done this at a distance, ever. So he gives me the name and age of a patient who's in his office, so permission was essential. And the next thing you know, I have this kind of image in my head. And I said, Norm, don't say anything else. I'll tell you what I got. I said, I see concrete around the guy's throat. It's just filled with concrete, and you're not able to melt in it, because the guy had esophageal cancer.
Wow.
Okay. Through Norm, because of Norm, he would then say, well, let's work with, he started to work with all my images. And eventually, because I never took an anatomy class, I never took anything, I'm your pure liberal arts girl. But as the years went by and the readings went by, we ended up doing 6 to 8 readings a day.
Wow.
For 6.5 years.
Wow.
And most people wouldn't, as I said to Thomas John, you're not going to do that. You're not going to isolate yourself in the hills of New Hampshire or Vermont and seal yourself away. I didn't have a radio. I didn't have a TV. I didn't have anything. Because we didn't have cable. We didn't have anything like that in the 80s. So I just lived I did readings. I worked in the publishing company, and I went back and I did readings with Norm. And that seemed normal. That outrageous thing became normal for me. And then I didn't realize that I was logging in my head patterns, like with breast cancer and with pancreatic cancer and with lower back pain, and with that, in fact, that I had begun to observe patterns without realizing it. I did, because I came at this without even knowing there was a chakra system.
Wow.
This was not my language. I came from classical theology. So when Norm said, we need to write a book, so I started to put breast cancer. Well, I saw women, and the reason they got it, they had this, and then there was this, and then I realized there are 3 major causes that these women had in common. Then when I got to pancreatic disorders, They all seem to revolve around issues of responsibility. That's when I thought, wait a minute here, there's patterns here. And I that's when I saw it. That's when I actually saw it. That's when I scaffolded the human energy system. And if Norton hadn't said, let's write a book, I don't know that I would have ever scaffolded the human energy system. And that put the human energy system on the map, which has become the template for so many people now.
Wow.
And that's
wow.
how it was born.
What a story of genesis of what you've created and the breadth of your work and where it actually started. I'm really grateful that you took us through all of that. Very powerful. And I love the fact that you are living in, quote unquote, such a pure time, that there wasn't all the influences we have today, and you could come from exactly where you were, the liberal arts gal.
And you know what? I think that's really important, because I never heard of this. I am doing something. I'm the result of something I never heard of. Let's be real clear here. I mean, I was trained to be a journalist, educated to be a writer and a journalist, and to do something that I never ended up doing. And I became something I never even heard of. And when I went to graduate school, my reason for pursuing theology was because I knew that my thinking apparatus was inadequate. My verbal skills were adequate. My writing skills were adequate. But my thinking apparatus was not. I needed to learn how to think. And I felt that I had not been properly refined. So I thought I could either do theology or I could do philosophy. But I had not had anyone get me out of myself and into the level of engagement of impersonal thinking to the extent that I needed to get. And I felt that inadequacy. I could feel myself slipping into my own thinking and defending my own point of view. And I knew the moment that I did that, I knew that because of how I was educated by my own great mentor, who would always say, if I catch you defending a position because it's personal, I will fail you. If you cannot give me a solid academic reason, a philosophical, academic, moral, or ethical reason for your position, if it's only your emotional, personal, she said, I will fail you. Because that will not stand you well as you go in life. You keep your emotions out of your mind. They don't belong there.
Wow.
And I needed more of that. And that's why I became I went into mystical theology. I needed that. And I knew I needed it. I knew my thinking. I would end up getting emotional when someone presented an idea to me. And I thought, that's your sand trap. You'll never, ever see clearly because you're getting emotional when someone's mm-hmm. talking to you and you're getting defensive. And I flunked myself. So I put myself through a rigorous course. I said, you've got to get very impersonal in how you see the universe. And that became the jewel of my skill.
The jewel of your skill. My God, that's powerful. Well, you're listening to Dare to Dream Radio. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with Carolyn Mace about woundology, about the power of your words, and what do the Greek mystery schools have to do with words and speech? Join me after the show on Facebook at Dare to Dream Radio and TV. We'll be right back.
When making the decision to hire a coach, find a pro who delivers. Debbie Dashinger is an expert with an impressive platform that gets results. Let go of issues and shift your life into brilliance. Go to www.debbiedashinger.com. That's D-A-C-H-I-N-G-E-R, debbiedashinger.com. Debbie believes that we are each meant to shine our light and fulfill our unique path. Hire a coach who delivers. www.debbiedashinger.com.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness, the Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head. that when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and as a result cannot change. The BARS is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a BARS session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a BARS class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
Debbie Dashinger's Radio Interview Mastery Program is a unique branded system that works. MediaMasteryRadio.com puts you on a fast track to grow your business and easily book interviews. Learn how at MediaMasteryRadio.com. Debbie is fiercely committed to guiding entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, healers, and business people. Learn how to leverage your radio appearances to grow your business and increase your visibility at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
Do you have a published book that never reached its bestseller potential? Are you working on a book or ebook you hope to publish soon? Do you have a book locked inside, waiting to release your message to the world? Go to mybestsellerbook.com. My Bestseller Book will launch your book to a guaranteed bestseller status. Learn more at mybestsellerbook.com.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream. I'm interviewing Carolyn Mace. And I promised a little conversation about woundology. So, Carolyn, you coined the syndrome that you called woundology. What are the underlying reasons why people sabotage their own healing processes?
Well, you know, it really, I didn't realize until I saw that little portal into someone who needed to let everybody know about her wounds in such a theatrical way that one day so many years ago. And then, of course, then I developed a very sharp lens in spotting it. And I assumed that everybody wanted to be healthy and everyone wanted to be pain-free and everyone. And it's quite the opposite. Most people do not. Because being wounded, we do not actually have a template, Debbie, for meaning a model, meaning a archetypal model in which a person is healthy and whole and yet vulnerable. That's number one. We have a model in our heads that once you're healthy and whole, we then say, you don't need anything. You don't need me. You don't need anything from me. So we associate health with being, with not having needs anymore, with not being vulnerable anymore, with no longer being able to say anything like, I feel so lonely today. Like, you can't be healthy and lonely. So we have this idea that any sign of weakness, what we consider weakness, that we consider loneliness a weakness, not just you can't be strong and lonely simultaneously. We do not understand human nature at all. And the reason for that is because we live in this polarity. You're either right or you're wrong. You're yes or you're no. You're up or you're down. We have no middle ground, nothing in the middle. We have to give a word for that space. We call it, well, you have to be compassionate to see someone in the middle. You have to, instead of realizing we still do not understand human nature without judgment. We have to judge every single thing about it. Now, woundology is all about the fear of going into that space and ending up feeling like, first of all, people discover, because suffering is power in our society. It's very powerful. We have this idea that if we suffer, we are entitled to something. We're entitled to a payment. We're entitled to a lawsuit. Somebody has to make it right if we suffer. This is, these are substitutes for getting to God. You owe me. You owe me because I've suffered. And if I can't bend the arc of the universe in my favor by candles, I'll sue someone here. You owe me. So we have this idea that we're owed things. If we are weak, if we are fragile, that people will compensate for us. And that's very difficult to give that up if you have no other, if you think the opposite of this is isolation by becoming healthy, that I don't have any needs. If I become whole and healthy, then I have to give up having people care for me, because those are the only two images we have. We have either independent, which means you have to be the caretaker, or you're the one being taken care of. In order to be taken care of, you have to produce a legitimate wound.
Fascinating. So you said that the very essence of what it means to become a conscious person begins with examining the content of our vocabulary and how vocabulary has power to shape, define, and order our inner and outer universe. How do you recommend we examine our vocabulary? What are the ways to do this so that we can create better power in our words and live from a successful, empowered life?
Well, remember, your words are your weapons. Your words are tools. Your words are weapons. And what I say to people, for example, as a small exercise that is actually life-changing, which is think about, I want you to write down something that's on, quote, on your mind. What is, quote, on your mind? Something that's troubling you, that's on your mind. Write it down. And look at the words that you use. And you've chosen every one of those words to describe a circumstance, a situation, maybe you've used the word problem, or maybe you've used the word catastrophe. You've chosen the words you want. Now, every one of those words is going to affect your biology. Everyone, every single one. Just like if I said to you, I have a gift for you. Gift, your biology responds, it loves that word. If I said, I have a problem for you, your biology responds to that word. It knows that word. It's a trained creature. Your biology is a trained creature. It's a trained system. So if you have something on your mind and you write it down, and you think, I've got to change these words. I wonder what would happen if I used different vocabulary for this very same circumstance I'm in. What if I didn't call it a problem? What options do I have? And grab your thesaurus. Say I'm in the middle of a mystery. Mystery's good. That's neutral. I'm in the middle of a mystery. I'm not going to call it a problem anymore. I'm going to call it a mystery. I'm just going to call it a mystery. I don't know how it's going to end. With a problem, you always see everything around it, every conversation. You automatically have determined it's a problem. And you automatically bring a certain level of negative cause and effect to it. Whereas with a mystery, now you've decided your psyche automatically opens up to possibilities and probabilities that you haven't considered. You become an open vessel. It's a mystery. And you tell yourself, I have no idea what's going on. Maybe it's not a problem. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. I have no idea what it is because I've just declared this to be a mystery. A mystery. You've also recognized the only things I call problems are because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of the outcome here. I'm afraid I'm going to get the short end of the stick. I call it a problem because I have no control. Control's a strong operative word. So as we work with our language, we realize that how often our choice of words impacts every single square inch of what we are, who we are, how we are, who, what, when, where, how, and why, the whole gamut.
And this is not a new idea. The power of words and right speech was a fundamental teaching in the ancient Greek mystery schools. What was it that they taught about changing emotional, psychological, or even physical response? Is there some kind of example you can give?
Well, the ancient Greek mystery schools were based on a very, very tightly directed course of study. But it certainly included the trivium, the first 3 years, which is called the trivium, started with the study of dialectica. Then you moved into rhetorica. You started with grammatica. Then you move into dialectica. And then the third is rhetorica. So there you are learning words, logic, order, how to have dialogues, how to structure ideas, thoughts, what is the communication skill, how to reason, what is reason, how does reason work, look at the difference between Plato and the power of ideas, which is classic Plato, the power of an idea itself, and Aristotle, the power of reason and the rational mind. And you learn these, in the trivium, that unless you understand the how to even engage in with a logical discussion, how to structure logic, how to go from point A to point B to point C, how to even philosophize, how to dialogue with an idea for idea's sake, how to pursue knowledge for the sake of the pursuit of knowledge. That this is fundamental to the whole reason you were born. We make this mistake of thinking because they are, quote, ancient Greeks, that the word ancient means that it is now, it has seen its time and it's come and gone, whereas I now hold very clearly to the position that the ancient, quote, ancient Greeks, it was also the time of Pythagoras, it was the time of Plato, it was the time of Socrates, it was the time of Aristotle, it was the time of the Old Testament, it was the time of the history of Rome. It was the time of the organization of the Roman Senate. It was the time of the Egyptians. This was a time before, and this is very clearly, before time itself was created as we knew it. This was a time before horizontal time had engaged in the power that it has. This was more of a time of vertical consciousness. This was a time when the word doubt had yet to be created in relationship to the cosmos, when human consciousness was not organized around the scientific mind, which demanded you prove your value to me before you have value, you prove, God, that you exist, but rather, this was a time when human beings stood on the earth and heard nothing but the sounds of the elements. When they stood on the earth, they heard the water, they heard the air, they heard the fire, they heard wind, they heard the elements, and they looked up and they said, "What is it you want of us? Show us how this universe works." Mm-hmm. Pythagoras was sent, perhaps he was a person of what they called the golden arrow. Maybe he was, what was his name? Abaris. Maybe he was Abaris, that messenger from Mongolia, who was said to have flown in on a golden arrow, Abaris. And he came into Greece, and he came in looking for one. Abaris came in with this golden arrow, looking for one person. He came from a culture of arrows, the arrow makers. people who made arrows so perfectly that when that they knew how to make arrows sing, and they knew how to make sounds with their arrows. They communicated. They would shoot an arrow, and if it made a certain sound, the tribe knew to turn left, to turn right. They were such perfect arrow makers. But if someone had a golden arrow, they knew that that person could travel through time and space. Abaris had a golden arrow, and he came all the way to Greece to look for one person, and that person was Pythagoras. And he became the father of mathematics. You read these stories, I read these stories. But one day I said to myself, what if somehow or other the quality of knowledge, not information, not data, knowledge, that came through in these times. Plato said the gods are archetypes. He was the first to use that word. Plato's Republic, structuring the law. Even Paul on his way to Rome, when he was arrested by the Romans, he said, you don't touch me here, you take me to Rome, because I must be tried as a Roman, because no one's above the law. We base our Senate on the Roman Senate, because we go back to that time when this knowledge came through with such purity, Debbie, such purity, that all of what they have in common, the Romans, the Greeks, the I'm not even going into the eastern part of the world, which I could do, but just this West, all of these at the same, roughly the same time, before the age of Pisces, all this, all of it, was so pure, it was the way the world was, mathematical, not convoluted by the ideas of God, men incarnated, not that. It was just pure stuff.
Pure. Yes. And we have to go to break.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Speaking of enthusiasm, mirror, mirror, you are on fire, and I feel it here, the passion and your beautiful storytelling. It is so enrapturing, Carolyn, and I feel like it. I teach and mentor people how to write books and write them into a page-turner. Well, this is a page-turner interview. I'm on the edge of my chair and cliff just waiting for the next part of this interview. It's so beautiful. Folks, if you want to get your book written and take it to bestseller and get interviewed, is it time to get your manuscript out there? Email bestseller@debbiedashinger.com. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay right there. Love wine? Do you enjoy drinking it or sharing it? Well, maybe you know a lot about wine, maybe you don't. Thanks for entrusting me with picking and choosing the most amazing wines from all over the world and delivering them to your home or business. You will receive as few or as many bottles of wine as you like, with tasting notes in your magical box of wine, detailing the regions, the history, and even food and wine pairing. We will deliver to you the best wine in the world. So get in, get wine, get social at directsellers.com/Deb's Wine Wonders. Sit back and truly enjoy our wines, because we take great pride. We have invested a great deal of time selecting the most incredible wines from all over the world we know you'll enjoy and want to share. At directsellers.com/Deb's Wine Wonders. That's direct, CELLARS.com/Deb's Wine Wonders. Yum.
Be laser focused on ideal clients. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. Great rates at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Create awareness of your valuable content. Sponsor the Dare to Dream Radio show at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Advertising amplifies everything you're doing towards success. Increase your business. Write to ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? beingyouclass.com.
Be laser focused on ideal clients. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. Great rates at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Create awareness of your valuable content. Sponsor the Dare to Dream Radio show at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Advertising amplifies everything you're doing towards success. Increase your business. Write to ads@debbiedashinger.com.
Carolyn, coming up, you are speaking at the Conscious Life Expo, and people can join you there. Just want to give them some information. That's consciouslifeexpo.com, and Carolyn's speaking about the power of your words on Friday, February 9th, 8 p.m., the La Jolla Room. She also has a VIP meet and greet for an hour. Wow, which is fabulous before the event. And also, you offer online classes. Talk about your reflection series.
Thank you for asking, Debbie. Thank you. I started to do reflections courses about 3 years ago now, I think, and they're all available on my website, so students can take a look. I mean, people can take a look at that. And part of what inspired this was so many people seeking spiritual direction, wondering, you know, what to do, you know, questions about healing, questions about prayer, questions about, you know, is there such a thing as, you know, really miraculous healing or whatever. But also people in faith crisis. It's very difficult to have faith today. And I don't mean faith in an off-planet God that looks like us. I mean faith. It's been my experience that it's easier for people to tell me what they don't believe in with absolute conviction than to tell me one thing they actually do believe in. You know, so much of our world has fallen apart around us, and that's not going to stop. So it's you know, to actually know what you believe in and to have the conviction to hold tight to your beliefs or your values. It's not modeled by many people, certainly not by anybody that I can think of in the East Coast, if you know what I'm saying. So it's very difficult. And so I did a course on spiritual direction called Pebbles at the Well, in which I go through with people. If you were my directee, the very first thing I would say to you is, I want you to tell me everything you do not have faith in. Because that shows you have faith. It's just going the opposite direction. And we'll start working our way into what you're afraid to believe in, what you do believe in, the God you're angry at. And we'll finally get to the God you want to have that doesn't exist.
And where can people find the class? Should they just go to mace.com?
Yeah, go to mace.com and look for online classes.
Okay, great.
And I've done several. Some is the Essential Guide to Healing. I'm going to start another one in March, The Mystery of Now.
Beautiful.
In which I'm going to take a look at the archetypal forces at work in our world right now and the spiritual ones that are emerging in us. And that is, too, part of the continuing spiritual direction.
Perfect segue. We're going to do a lightning round here at the end. This is Dare to Dream. Carolyn, what are you next Dare to Dream? What are your future dreams and goals?
Oh, well, to write my novel. to actually get around to writing my novel, which I have in my head. So I do have a novel that I want to write, and to actually, I'm kind of living my dream. So, yeah.
And what is one archetype? I love this idea of faith and conviction. What can we focus on? Just give us an archetype that you recommend for the power around faith and conviction.
An archetypal pattern? Heal your wounded child. That would be one that occurs to me. But I think, you know what? Everybody has a saboteur. And the thing that I would tell people to do, which I do all the time, is stand up to your saboteur. Don't be afraid to, don't betray yourself. And that's self-sabotage.
Got it.
Don't betray yourself.
Self-saboteur. Carolyn, thank you so much for being with us. You are welcome anytime. This was enormous, a beautiful hour with you on Dare to Dream, and I'm so grateful to have learned from you today. And again, that was myss.com. And I end today's show with this quote from Carolyn Mace's Pinterest account of wisdom quotes. Today's lesson: on this day, take notice of someone whom you've previously ignored. That person is your teacher, your special angel, and he or she will do or say something you've been waiting for just because you're recognizing the beauty of his or her spirit. Your goal? To see that everyone is capable of healing and helping you heal, and vice versa. Next up on Dare to Dream Radio and Podcast, you'll be able to hear John Saley, the four-time NBA champ, and Lynn McTaggart. Thanks for being with us today on Dare to Dream.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at debbiedashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to debbiedashinger.com. That's www.debbiedashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products, sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. Easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change it if I want.